Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. This morning, I want to start off by sharing a story with you. I know you all have gotten to the place where you're waiting for my stories, right? Yeah. You know, I was really thinking a long time this week about what to share with you. And, you know, you don't want to just speak a word just to be speaking a word, but you want to speak a word that's going to make a difference in people's lives and that's going to bring some type of deliverance, going to set people free. And so all the way up until this morning, I was still meditating on what I was going to preach at. Several different messages, but for some reason, it just didn't seem like it was the right message. Just didn't seem like I just couldn't, you know, I was asking the Lord, what's wrong? What is it that I need to share with the people this morning? And the thing that amazes me is that the thing that I finally decided to speak on, Janet just finished singing about. And I said, you know, the same scriptures. And I said, Holy Spirit, I'm so appreciative to you because that just gave me confirmation that this was the message that he wanted me to speak this morning or to share with you all. And I want to start it off this morning by sharing a story. The first question I want to ask you this morning is, how precious is the word of God to you? How precious is the word of God to you? How precious is the word of God to me? You know, I was studying a lot this week, and I was really looking at being disciplined in the spirit. Because, you know, we talk a lot about being disciplined physically, you know, being fit physically. But then the Bible also talks about being fit spiritually. And when I began to look at the different ways that you're supposed to be fit spiritually, I began to see that I was not only not fit physically, but in some ways I wasn't fit spiritually. And I came across a few stories, and I want to read some of them to you. The first story was about this man. And this man had become born again. And he was so happy about being born again. But in the process of him becoming a new Christian, what ended up happening to him was he was in this bad explosion. And in the explosion, what happened to him was he lost his eyesight, he lost his eyes, and he also lost his hands. And this thing actually happened many, many, many years ago before there was CDs and tape players. And so, you know, so the Bible was not on a CD player or it wasn't on a tape or anything like that. And so the thing that really hurt him the most was that he couldn't read the word because he couldn't see and he couldn't use his hands. And so what ended up happening was he heard about this woman in England who had learned how to read Braille with her lips. And so he sent for the Braille so that he could use the Braille to read the Bible with his lips. But in the process of him trying to read the Braille with his lips, he found out from the explosion he didn't have any feeling in his lips. But in the process of him trying to learn how to read the Braille with his lips, he ended up touching the Braille with his tongue. And what he found out that was that he had feeling, he still had feeling in his tongue. And so the story goes on to say that this man had read through the Bible about at least four times. When it was written in the book, the man was saying that he had read through the Bible four times using his tongue. How precious is the word of God to us? When a person, let me say this, are you really born again? Yeah, really? I mean, really, you know, and I'm not trying to say to anybody out here, you don't know Jesus, you haven't accepted him. But if you're really born again, how precious is the word of God to us. This man wanted the word so much, he wanted to read about this Savior, this person who had changed his life, this person who had come down and who had died on the cross for him. He wanted to read so much about him that he literally used his tongue to read through the Bible. How many of us have 10 different translations and do not pick the Bible up one time in the week? But we say the Word of God is precious to us. How precious is the Word really to us? You know, and I begin to really examine some things. I'm not talking about you. I have to examine some things in me. How much do we really run to the Word to not only read it, but to hear it? You know, another story I read, and the other question I want to ask is, how often or how precious is it for us being a Christian? I mean, really, let's really think about that thing now. Because, you know, we're going through a lot of things in the United States of America right now, to the place that, you know, you get to, you don't even sometimes want to say that you are a Christian because of the persecution that you're going to receive from saying that you're a Christian now in the United States of America. Or the things that you stand for that are actually in the Word of God. And so the story is about these people who were living in, it was either Russia or Germany. I can't remember exactly which country it was. But they were living in Russia or in Germany. And whichever country it was that they were living in, they couldn't freely proclaim that they were Christians. And so what they would end up doing is they would go into their homes behind closed doors so that they could read the Word of God, you know, and share about Christianity. And so one day what ended up happening was while they were in their group in this home, it says that the doors flew open. And there were three soldiers who came in with rifles. And these people who were sitting there, they said this to them. They said, if you are not a Christian, then I want you to get up and to freely leave this house. But they said, if you are Christians, then you need to stay here. And so the story goes on to say that almost every single person in that house got up and left, although all of these people had said that they were Christians. And so it says that almost every single one of those persons got up and left. Once they left, the story goes on to say that these soldiers closed the door, bolted it shut, put down their rifles, and said, we're Christians too. We just wanted to make sure that who we were with were really Christians. How precious is your Christianity? Would you be able to stand? Because, you know, the Bible says we are living in the last days. And the Word of God has to be precious to us. And us being Christians, real Christians, has to also be precious. Turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 8, verse 36. And my message this morning is, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. The first thing I did was I looked up this word freedom. And freedom means the condition of being free of restraints. Liberty of the person from slavery, detention, or oppression. It says ease or facility of movement. And in John 8:36, it reads like this, and I wrote down several translations of this particular scripture. It says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And this is the King James Version. In the New King James, it says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." The New International Translation says, New Living Translation says, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." And then the New American Standard Bible says, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Now, in the Message Bible, it reads like this. Jesus said, "I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. A slave is transient, who can't come and go at will. The Son, though, has an established position, the run of the house. So if the Son sets you free, you are free through and through." Now turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. And these are the scriptures. It says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And so in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. And then it tells you exactly why the Spirit of the Lord was on him. It says, because he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He was sent to proclaim or to release the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who were oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says this, "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, one of the things you have to understand here is this. These scriptures basically are saying that God has highly exalted Jesus. And it says that he has given him a name that's above every name. That means that no matter what it is you might be dealing with or going through today, God has given Jesus a name that's above your situation or your circumstance. And you know, I've been meditating on something for a good many weeks, and I was going to call the message "That Thing." But instead of calling it "That Thing," because you know, sometimes people are, they get offended by a negative title of a message. So instead of calling it "That Thing," I decided to call it "Freedom." You know what I'm saying? "Whom the Son has set free is free indeed." But what I wanted to talk about was the fact that in many situations, people have that thing.
Yes, ma'am.
That thing that has bound them for years. That thing that nobody knows about. I remember years ago, Jimmy Swaggart preached this message called "That Thing." And what he was dealing with was that sometimes in people's lives, they have something that's going on in their life that they don't want anybody else to know about. And so they cover it. And so what ends up happening is, in their life, the devil doesn't do anything about it when they're small.
That's right.
But he waits until they get to these high positions. And, you know, so because the thing that you're dealing with isn't exposed when you're little,
see,
what ends up happening is you begin to think that it doesn't make any difference in your life. And so we have seen over the years different people who have gotten up to these very high positions, and all of a sudden something has been exposed in their life. And see, so the devil deceives Christians into believing that it's okay to hold on to that thing. You understand what I'm saying? But what we have to understand is that we have a Savior who can set us free from that thing. The Bible says that there is no name that's above the name of Jesus. That means that, boy, we have children in here. That means that if you're dealing with the M word, and hopefully you know what the M word is, God can deliver you from the M word. If you're dealing with the O word, God can deliver you from the O word. If you're dealing with cancer, God can deliver you from cancer. You know, it doesn't matter whatever the situation may be. If you are in poverty or if you're in need right now, God can deliver you from poverty. He can set you free. Because the Bible says his name is above every name. And the thing that you've got to understand is that it says it's above every name in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. That name. And see, the problem that we have as Christians, I believe, is that we don't spend enough time in the Word of God to know who it is we're serving. So we stay baby Christians, always dealing with that thing that the Lord could have delivered us from when it was small. But because we have allowed it to stay in our lives for such a long time, it has a stronghold on us now. And it's very hard to be set free from strongholds. But you know, God can deliver us and set us free from anything. Now, that thing could be homosexuality. You know, because something, you know, that thing could be that you're a part of that group called, what is it, Down Low?
Down Low.
Yeah. It could be that thing. And you know, the thing that really gets me upset now is that we put so much of that mess on TV. And it's sown into our children's lives that they begin to think that this stuff is natural, that is normal, but it's not normal. It is not normal to be a homosexual. It is not normal to not only want a man, but want a woman. It's not normal. But we have gotten to that place that we allow all of that stuff to be sown into our lives, and we think, so, you know, we have, as Christians, gotten to this place that we think that we're supposed to be tolerant.
That's right.
I want to ask you this question this morning. Was Jesus tolerant of sin?
No, not at all.
He was compassionate,
but
he wasn't tolerant.
That's right.
He set people free.
Hallelujah.
From adultery and homosexuality and all those different things that we're dealing with in life today. You know, he loved everyone. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he came, that he gave. That's what he said, right? So he has come for everyone. But the Bible also says, without holiness, no man will see God. So whether or not we think we're going to see God and we're still not living right, you're being deceived. I'm being deceived. I have bought a lie. You know, because that's not what the Word of God says. And see, we listen to and we read anything now and we think that it's okay. And we think because there may not be quick judgment that there won't be any. But there will be. And we've got to understand, people are watching us all the time. And so we as Christians, we have got to live right. Does that mean I walk around all day long pointing out something in my brother's life? No. Doesn't mean that. But if you're dealing with that thing, you've got to allow the Lord to set you free, because he wants to. He doesn't want anyone bound. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. And many of you have heard this story. The story is about a man named Lazarus. And you know, Lazarus had two sisters named Mary and Martha. And Lazarus had gotten very sick. But Jesus wasn't there. And in fact, Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die. Now, I'm going to start reading from verse 32. John chapter 11, verse 32. It says, Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the Bible says Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wilt believe, thou should see the glory of God? Now, one of the first things that we've got to understand is this. In order for the Lord to deliver us from that thing, we got to believe that he can.
That's right.
That's the first thing.
That's right.
And so Jesus says to Martha, Didn't I already tell you, you know, that I can do this thing? And see, sometimes we think that we have a whole lot of faith when in actuality we really don't.
Right.
Let me also tell you this. Let me say some things. Because I really want to be real with you. I want to be real. I really want you to understand and to get these things. I was meditating on this thing about faith. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How often do you hear the word?
Mm-hmm. Come on, that's good.
I mean, really, seriously. Mm-hmm. I want you to evaluate you, because I've been evaluating me. Mm-hmm. How often do you hear the word on a daily basis? And I'm not talking necessarily about somebody's teaching. I'm talking about the word of God. See, because this man, you remember the story at the beginning I was talking about? Where the man couldn't see and he didn't have hands, so he couldn't flip the pages, so he could, you know, anything like that. This man took his tongue to read the Bible. Now, we have the Bible on tape. We have the Bible on CD. We have the NIV, the Living Bible, New American Standard, the King James, the New King James, Hebrew, Greek. We got all these different translations. Yo, how often do you take that one Bible that you might have in your house and read it? But we want God to heal us.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us the remedy. Mm-hmm. He says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, a few months ago, I did this illustration in the Bible study with the ladies ministry. And I was sharing, it was actually Reverend Brown and Elder Miles. And I was talking about the armor of God. And the Bible says that we have the shield of faith. Mm-hmm. And you remember I just said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God? And what we did was we had this illustration where we had Vivian. Thank you. We had Vivian and, give me a little sheet of paper. Thank you. Now, Vivian, I can't remember whether it was you or Josie. But anyway, one of them was a Christian who didn't really listen to the word that much. And so we had this other person, was Brenda. Mm-hmm. Brenda was playing the devil, right? Mm-hmm. And Brenda had this little gun. You know, this little gun that you shoot out the little target things, you know, like you. And Vivian was a Christian, I believe, yes, who didn't listen to the word very much. And so Brenda had her little gun, and she was shooting it at Vivian. And so Vivian's shield was this big because she didn't listen to the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So based on how much you hear will determine how big your shield is. Right?
Yes.
Now, Josie, Elder Miles, had, we actually took a table, right? And so Elder Miles had this big table in front of her. I mean, she really had the table. So every time Brenda tried to get Elder Miles, she just, you know, this is funny, you know, she would just go, I mean, she didn't have to do very much because her shield covered her entire body.
That's right.
I get upset. You know, I get upset. I don't just get upset with you. I get upset with me. Because there are so many things we could eliminate out of our lives if we would just do what God tells us to do.
Yes.
He says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There would be so many situations that the devil would not even be able to get at us if we would just do what he told us to do. And so here you see, Jesus says to Martha, Martha, how come you don't believe me? You know, because, look, I'm going to give you these scriptures. You don't have to turn to all of them, but I'm going to read some of them. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13, it talks about the centurion and his servant. Many of you have read the scripture. But what it talks about is the centurion who comes to Jesus and says, my servant is ill. And he says, if, Lord, all you have to do is to say the word. And the Bible says that Jesus said, I have never seen anybody with so much faith. Would the Lord say that about you? Mm-hmm. That I've never seen anybody with so much faith. Mm-hmm. As Christians, we have got to exercise ourselves in our spiritual man.
Yes.
We have got to exercise. And when you're exercising, you're building up your faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that whatever comes your way, you can handle it.
Yes.
Because you got the shield up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. The shield is up. Mm-hmm. And it's covering your body so that the devil can't get you any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Because you're fit spiritually. You can handle it. And so the Lord says about this man, this centurion, he says, man, he says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. This is Matthew 8. Chapter, verse 10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Mm-hmm. Now we can build up our faith.
Yes, we can.
In Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, it talks about the man who has palsy. And then in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, it's the same example. But one of the things he says about this thing, he starts off again. He says, this is in Mark 2, it says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed within the sick of the palsy lay. So these people had so much faith that Jesus was going to heal this man that they actually opened up the roof of the house and lowered him down. Faith. And so Jesus says this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus received in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And so Jesus was saying, man, these guys had so much faith that something was going to happen that they even let the man down through the roof. And then in Matthew chapter 9, it talks about a certain ruler and his dead daughter. But it also talks about the woman with the issue of blood. Now, this woman was so sure that Jesus was going to heal her. The Bible says the woman entered through the press. And you know, she got on her knees to get to him. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. The woman had the faith to be healed. She had the faith to be set free. You know, sometimes I wonder with us as the body of Christ. You know, I was looking at this movie yesterday. My husband was actually looking at it with me. He's so sweet. But, you know, I was looking at this movie because I was dealing with a particular situation, and I wanted to see the movie. And so the movie we were looking at was Rocky III. And the story, you know, if any of you looked at Rocky, the story, Rocky III deals with this guy named Clubber Lane. That's his name, Clubber Lane. You know, Mr. T, right? And so what is happening here, you know, sometimes you can look at movies and you can see God in all of them.
Yes, you can.
You can just see it, you know. And as I began to meditate, I began to see the Lord in this movie. And so what happened was Rocky and Rocky 1, Rocky 2, you know, he fights really well and he beats, I can't think of the guy, Apollo Creed. That's right, you say Apollo Creed. See somebody looking at it with me. He beats Apollo Creed. So by the time he gets to Rocky 3, he's gotten a little soft. You know, he got all the money and all this kind of stuff, a little glamorous and all this. But now, so he's still fighting people, but you know, not really anybody that's really anything. And so what ends up happening is this guy named Glover Lane, this guy has been watching Rocky. You know, and you know what made me think about him? I began to think of him like he was the devil. Glover Lane was watching Rocky. See, Rocky had gotten soft. At first, you know, the guy said he had the eye of the tiger. You know, he would go in that ring and he, you know, just serious. And it made me think of how we are sometimes as Christians when we're first born again.
Right.
We got the eye of the tiger.
Yeah.
Lord, we can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, you reading your words, you studying it, you praying, you're fasting, praying in the spirit, you're doing all these things.
Yes.
Then after a few years, you get laid back.
Laid back.
You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, you can't believe God for anything. You know why? Because you're not listening to the word anymore. You're not reading it. It's not priority in your life anymore. Other things have become priority. You know, looking good before the people has become priority.
Yeah.
And so this is what was happening with Rocky. You know, he wanted to look good before the people. And so this guy named Clubber Lang, he won the title. And so while Rocky is looking cute before the people, Clubber Lang, he's exercising.
Yeah,
the brother is getting fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was determined, I'm going to knock this guy out when I get him in the ring with me. And so what happens is, you know, his trainer, now, let me tell you now, the trainer wasn't asleep, though. The trainer was allowing Rocky to fight all these other people, but the trainer was watching Glover the whole time. He was watching this guy. He knew that this guy was after the title. Rocky didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And you know who the trainer reminds me of? The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The whole time, the Holy Spirit is watching.
Yes.
You see, the Holy Spirit is not asleep.
Yes.
And so Rocky goes to, what happens is, Glover Lane, he challenges Rocky. And, you know, he wants to fight him. And so the trainer says to Rocky, no, man, you can't, don't fight him.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't fight him. That guy ready, he gonna knock you out.
Uh-huh.
And so Rocky's like, no, I can do it. And so finally the trainer says, okay, but if you're going to fight him, let me train you.
That's right.
And training. See, and that's what the Holy Spirit will say.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say, let me train you. But see, a lot of times we're not interested in what the Holy Spirit has to say because we think we got it.
That's right.
You know, at first when we were nobody, the Holy Spirit was important in our lives.
Yes, yes.
And we would take the counsel of the Holy Spirit. But now we've been saved a few years, and we think we know something.
Yeah.
So what Rocky does is, you know, instead of him going back to that gym where he learned how to fight and get fit and all that kind of stuff, you know, get back that zeal and the eye of the tiger, he sets up this training facility, and the people in there selling t-shirts, and, you know, ladies coming up and saying, can I get a kiss from you? You know, I mean, all this crazy stuff is going on. And the trainer's like, man, what are you doing? You're getting ready to fight for the championship. You have got to train. And he's, oh, I got it. You know, oh, yeah. Isn't that what we say?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. Not listening to the Holy Spirit. And so what ends up happening, you all know what happened. He gets in the ring and the guy kills him. I mean, he doesn't literally kill him, but he beats him. Knocks him out the second round. And so what ends up happening, not only, though, does Rocky get knocked out, the trainer ends up dying.
Yes.
In the midst of this thing. And so what happens is the trainer actually told him, said, man, you've lost your edge. And so what ends up happening, because he didn't listen to the trainer, fear gripped him.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he was scared. He didn't want to fight. You know what I'm saying? And so then Apollo comes, and he wants to train him. So he gets a new trainer, right, Apollo? And so Apollo takes him back to where he first learned how to fight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes as Christians, we've got to go back.
That's right.
We got to go back. So that we can get back in fit.
Yeah.
So that we can understand that Jesus can deliver us and set us free from anything. Because we get so relaxed. You know what I'm saying? We begin to think, well, Lord, you know, I'm in this situation and I've got to do something to get me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to depend on the arm of the flesh.
That's right.
When actually God wants us to depend on his arm.
Yeah.
And so Rocky had to, first of all, he had to get rid of the fear that was in him. And so then Apollo trains him. So then he gets in that ring, and of course, you know, he wins. He fights him. And the part I like about that, the second time he gets in the ring, is that it's almost like there is so much fear that has gripped you that you're afraid to face the giant. You know, you're afraid to face it.
Yeah.
And so Rocky was that way. He was afraid to face Glover.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he got in that ring and Glover Lang started to hit him, you know, all that kind of stuff, and Rocky goes up to him and says, "You ain't all that." Got in his face. But he got in his face and said, "You ain't all that." And you know, I mean, really, seriously. That's what he said. He said, "That's all you got? Go ahead, hit me. Hit me again." He kept getting in his face. "Hit me again." And then he started winding up. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to get in the devil's face.
Yeah.
He says,
right.
"You ain't all that."
That's right.
That's right.
You know,
that's
whatever
right.
that thing that has a hold of you,
yes.
you got to say, "You
Hallelujah.
Ain't all that."
Hallelujah, Lord. Yes.
It is not that big a thing that God can't set you free
that's
from
right.
it.
Well able.
Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus has a name that's above every name. And so, getting back to this very quickly, it says that if you go through the scriptures, there are many instances where Jesus talks about people's faith. He said they had great faith. And you remember the situation where it was a lady with the who was a Syrophoenician woman, and she had a daughter. And that daughter had that situation going on in her life for years. And Jesus, and this woman went to Jesus, and she asked him to set her daughter free. And Jesus said, you know, at first Jesus wasn't even paying attention to her. And then she kept going back to him. See, how many times have you gone back to him to deliver you, to set you free? Now, have you gone to the right person to set you free? Because see, in the Bible, it talks in, it's either 1st or 2nd Kings, the 5th chapter, it talks about this man named Naaman who had leprosy. Mm-hmm. And it says the little maid said to him, "Man, if you would go to the prophet in Israel, he'd set you free." But now, where did Naaman go first? He went to the king. Who have you gone to for your deliverance? You got to make sure you're going to the right person to set you free. Jesus is the one that will set you free. And so the Bible says that Naaman, the king is like, "What in the world are you doing coming to me?" And so Elijah says, "You know, send him to me. I know a man."
Mm-hmm.
So,
I know a man.
Yeah. So Elijah, he went to Elijah. Elijah says to him, "Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the River Jordan. And I want you to dip in that river 7 times. And the Bible says Naaman gets upset. You know why he gets upset? At least my opinion. Why he gets upset. You know, when you got something wrong with you, you don't want it exposed. And see, in order for him to get into that water, he had to undress. He had to expose that thing. And see, pride will not let you expose the thing that's in your life that has a hold of you.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? And so Naaman, and so his servants say to him, "Man, if God, if they had told you to do something great, you would have done it."
Mm-hmm.
Now the man of God is telling you, all you got to do is go and dip yourself in this muddy water 7 times and you'll be set free. Now, you mean to tell me you can't do that? Let me tell you, there are times Jesus will tell us something very simple to do to be set free.
Yeah.
But because of our pride, we won't do it. And so what ends up happening, make a long story short, Naaman goes and he undresses and he dips himself in that water 7 times and says when he comes out, says his skin is like a baby. Brand new skin. Totally set free. Totally healed. Totally delivered from leprosy. Now, I don't know about you, but there is nobody that I know of that can set me free like this man named Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
See, sometimes we look at people and we think it's the person who's setting us free. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Yeah. That me was Jesus.
Yeah.
And he says, I have come to set the captives free. And the Bible says, who is free indeed. Who Jesus sets free, who the Son sets free,
that's right,
is free indeed. And so I want to say to you this morning, if you have that thing in your life, you can be set free. You don't have to live with it anymore. If you're the woman with the issue of blood, you don't have to live with it any longer. If you're that person with the, you're that Naaman with the leprosy, you don't have to live with it anymore. If you've got that daughter who needs to be set free, you don't have to live with it anymore. There is a name that's above every name. A name that every knee is going to bow to. Hallelujah. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And so I want to say to you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, this is your opportunity to receive him as your Savior. The Bible says tomorrow is not promised to any man. You know? I pray that if you're not born again today and you choose not to accept him as your personal Savior, that God will give you another day. But you have the opportunity right now to receive him as your personal Savior. And so I want to give you that opportunity. And then you might be saying to yourself, well, you know, I've got that thing. There's something going on in my life, and I'm ashamed of it. I know it's not right, and I need to be delivered. I need to be set free from it. I want to give you the opportunity for us to pray with you right now. Would some of the elders please come up? Because I don't know if anybody's going to get up or come up, but I want to give you the opportunity. I want you to understand that today you can be set free from that thing. And the first thing that you need to do to be set free is to confess that you got that thing. Now let me tell you this. There is nobody probably in this room that don't have something that they're not dealing with. So don't think that, oh, you know, if I get up, everybody's going to be looking at me. You know what I mean? Let me tell you. Do you want to be set free or do you want to be concerned whether or not somebody's looking at you? You know what I'm saying? So if you have that thing, if there is something, look, let me tell you, these elders are not going to be talking to anybody about what's going on in your life. That's between you, them, and God. And so if you have that thing, I want to want you to have the opportunity to come up so that you can be delivered from that thing. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, Bishop Mason is going to come down and he's going to pray with you for salvation.